97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Oh, I'm so excited for Mizzou football tonight. Arkansas Pine Bluff. I hope it's a blowout. Get to see Austin Simmons as the Mizzou quarterback. The North End Zone project is complete, and the stadium looks amazing. Chris Gervino, my old journalism school friend. We went back in the mid-80s to J school. Chris was just a little younger than I. He never left Columbia. He was a very successful sports anchor at KOMU and KMIZ, and he's on the Tigers radio network for both basketball and football. He's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. We have United States Senator Eric Schmidt, the former official state senator of the Mark Reardon Show, on the phone with us this evening. How are you? Are you in Missouri or Washington?
I'm in Missouri. I'm actually on Highway 70 right now, Mark, headed to Columbia, Missouri, to watch your Missouri Tigers blow out Arkansas Pine Bluff.
I knew you were going to say that, and that makes me mad. Damn it, because I was going to ask you that, and I kind of figured you were going. Unbelievable. Oh, yeah. But have you been inside the stadium since the completion of the North End Zone?
Yeah, a couple weeks ago, I went down for the Coach Drinkwitz had me come down for the final scrimmage they had on a Saturday, and I got to see the new North End Zone. It's phenomenal. Like, it's actually really, really nice. It's of course it encloses the stadium, but the suites that they have there and these little tiger dens they have, where it's like this outdoor seating where you have a bunch of people. It's first class, and they've really upgraded not only the football program, but all the amenities. They're going to be celebrating that 1960 national championship team here in a couple weeks too.
So dude, there's a Shakespeare's pizza in there now.
I know. So I'm interested to see all that stuff that's going to be there. And they should have a good team, too.
All right, let's get to some business here, because I do want to talk about some lighter stuff at the end. But let's talk about the Protect College Sports Act. This is so darn important, and it's coming on the heels, by the way, of a federal judge, as you know, in California, where you're trying to make a policy in California to prevent biological males to play against girls, and a judge, you know, puts that on hold. But you're a sponsor of this particular legislation. President Trump's behind it. Riley Gaines, Jen Say, all the people that are out there as voices in this particular fight are behind it. But tell us about the possibilities here moving forward and what this legislation would actually do.
Well, it's just important. I think with every passing week, Mark, you see another instance in some court case that just throws college athletics into complete chaos. And so that's what the legislation attempts to do. There's only one entity. And basically, to understand the reason why, it's that all of the rule, like let's say the NCAA wants to have a 5-year eligibility rule, or they want to you know, not allow pro players to come back. Those rules are just being thrown out because they don't have the authority to enforce them. So what the legislation does, it gives limited antitrust protection to a governing body to say, we have the ability to enforce a 5-year eligibility. We have the ability to enforce a 1-time transfer rule. And that's what it does at the heart of it. It allows for that to happen finally to sort of end this chaos. Nick Saban it just cut an ad that's going to be playing over the weekend. I think the public's becoming more and more aware of just how insane this whole thing is. And so, as I told you before on your show, if you had asked me if Congress had a role in this a few years ago, I'd have been somewhat skeptical. But it literally is the only entity on the planet that can grant this sort of authority to the NCAA to enforce their rules.
Yeah, well, you basically said what I was just going to say, because I ordinarily, and you know this philosophically, you're the same way, the gut instinct is, man, government getting involved doesn't usually help things, but it's the Wild West. And you have the support not only of Nick Saban, but the conference commissioners from the SEC, Greg Sankey, and the Big Ten support this piece of legislation as well. Maybe more groups than that, but you have support here from the conferences, right?
Absolutely, and because everybody understands. And it's also important to point out, for the first time in federal law, there'll be protections for these student-athletes. You can't lose a scholarship because of an injury. There's health care coverage while you're in school and after you're in school. So there's a lot of protections for the athletes. And there's also protections to sort of crack down on some of these unscrupulous agents who are just churning these players, selling them a bill of goods about what's on the other side of the transfer portal. And there's terrible stories. They're taking 30-40% of them going to a program that's a lesser program and less money. It is totally wild, wild west right now.
I think we're just probably on the edge of hearing some more crazy stories like that, just because it is the wild west. So you do have some bipartisan support on this, right?
Yes, it's very bipartisan, and we're just trying to, you know, you got to have 60 votes coming out of the Senate. We're working on that. Maria Cantwell, who's a Democrat from the state of Washington, Maria and I probably don't vote the same way on almost anything, but we are working together in earnest. We've been on conference calls as late as 11 o'clock at night earlier this week, just making sure that we're doing everything we can to make sure we have the votes to get this done. The president is very interested in this. I can tell you, I talk to him about it all the time. He's a sports guy. He's not like some, he actually, you know,
he's knowledgeable.
He loves golf.
Yes.
He's very knowledgeable. He wants to do something about this because he, like most of America that's paying attention to this, this just isn't sustainable. I mean, LSU has a $50 million football roster and trying to bring back pro athletes now into their program, and nobody can do anything about it because there are no rules. So I think it's important for the listeners to know Congress isn't going to like be in there, you know, being the commissioner, but having basic rules set forth in statute that can be enforced by a governing body like the one-time transfer and 5-year eligibility window is important. You just can't have 27-year-olds competing against 17-year-olds.
It's ridiculous. So I support you on this because there has to be some solutions to this moving forward. Hey, you had a great experience. I think it was Monday when you went over, and I know this about you because we've known each other for a long time. Your dad worked a long time for AB, and you went over to the brewery and had a little bit of an event on Monday, didn't you?
Yeah, it's really to celebrate Anheuser-Busch's commitment to manufacturing here in this country. You have great Americans brewing great American beer, and that's certainly part of my family's story. With my dad working there for 25 years, the midnight shift, my uncle worked there for almost 30 years. I had cousins that worked there. I gave tours at Grant's Farm, thankfully, before cell phones were around and people couldn't record all of the things.
Was that like a summer gig for you?
Yeah, yeah, I
That's
did it
great.
In two summers. I gave tours. It was great. But no, and they brought in this new A&E Eagle sign that was from the Newark Brewery that's part of the St. Louis skyline now. It's just, I'm always appreciative of the commitment, not to the community, not only to the community, but really American manufacturing. When a lot of companies were sending jobs overseas, Anheuser-Busch has continued to invest right here in America. And so we were able to celebrate some of that on Monday.
That's awesome. Congratulations on that. All right. I've saved some of the tougher questions for last. Are you ready? Because I have to grill you on some stuff here.
Sure.
I won't play the soundbite because it'll waste your time. It's like a minute. I'm going to play in a little bit. But J.D. Vance, the vice president, your good friend, was asked today about how much sauerkraut he eats in his diet. And this has become a topic in Washington, D.C. because of Bobby Kennedy. How much sauerkraut does Senator Schmidt eat on a regular basis? You have leaned down. We've noticed. You've gotten in shape. The gym's at play here. But is sauerkraut also a factor, Eric?
You know what? I don't. J.D. does the RFK thing with the fermented vegetables. So basically, I kind of like high-protein carnivore stuff, a lot of beef jerky in the afternoon.
Right.
And high-protein stuff. But those guys do the sauerkraut thing, and I think RFK Jr. actually has a cooler with sauerkraut he carries around with him. My wife and I, Jamie, went to dinner with him and Cheryl Hines, and he is religious about this thing. It seems to work, but I'm more just carnivore, not sauerkraut.
That's
although
because,
with a name like Eric Schmidt, sauerkraut would make some sense.
But that sounds disgusting. And I even like a little sauerkraut on a brat now and again, but I don't think that's something I would make a, you know, a regular staple of my diet. By the way, you mentioned Cheryl Hines. Was she in town recently? Yeah. Did I see that?
Yeah, we had her in and Rachel Campos Duffy to come in and promote ABLE accounts. As you know, working with individuals with disabilities and allowing them to save like you would for a loved one for college is really important. So it doesn't count against the cap that they have for savings to receive benefits. It allows them to save. We heard people come in, individuals who are saving just for a car, things that, you know, you take for granted. We want everybody to have access to that kind of tax advantage savings accounts. Cheryl Hines is a big advocate for people with disabilities. She had a little star powered event. And she's a lot of fun, too, so I'm glad she's helping out. But, yeah, she was in St. Louis with us last week.
I love it. All right, another tough question here. Why did you, United States Senator Eric Schmidt, give Scottie Scheffler hand, foot, and mouth at the BMW Championship?
I did not. Fake news.
Okay. Are you sure? Because I don't
know.
You were
there.
Well,
you were there. As you were there as a heckler on the eighth hole. Maybe you did it.
I don't think I've talked to you since, but how much damn fun was that? My goodness.
It was so cool. It was so cool. It's one of those things in life that I'm sure I'll be telling stories from that for as long as I'm alive. It was just really cool to see somebody who literally is at the very top of his profession. I mean, he continued to win, and he won over this past weekend, too, the FedEx Cup. Just him go about his business to talk about his kind of routine. He travels with his family. He was asking me about, you know, what it's like to be in the Senate on some issues. We actually talked about the Protect College Sports Act, just those kind of conversations you can have on a golf course. It was a lot of fun.
Well, so. One of the things that I've always said about you is, and one of the reasons that I like you is because, you know, I've said this about you. You're a real person. And Scotty feels like, you know, like he's a real person, despite all that air above him. I mean, he's at the top of the world with some of this. Tiger is, too. But he seems to have a pretty realistic demeanor about him.
Yes, very down to earth. That was my that was my impression. And Jamie, my wife Jamie, was walking the course with me. My daughter Olivia was. I had Olivia take one of the putts on, I think it was on 7, and he gave her a fist pump. And there's a cool picture of that that we'll have framed for Olivia. But
that's amazing.
No, it was just a great day. He was a great guy. Very generous.
It was a great. St. Louis was featured finally in a very positive way. I mentioned, you know, the Savannah Bananas were here that same weekend, and it was just an awesome week for St. Louis. It really was.
I got to meet Jim Nantz the next.
Oh, awesome!
Day, I think it was on Sunday, and. You know, he was actually bragging about St. Louis and how the fans always show up. And he was talking about he was here in 92 with the PGA. He was here in 2018 with the PGA. These guys who travel around the country know how great a sports fan St. Louis are for anything, even for golf. I mean, everything we show up for, there were 155,000 people there. Belle Reeve did a great job. We should get more events, I think, on the tour.
I know that you went back, maybe you were there Saturday and Sunday, but did you see Gary Woodland's shot? I think it was on Friday on the 9th hole, his tee shot. What happened?
No.
Okay, so dude, so this makes every amateur golfer, even someone as good as you, feel good. He literally topped a hybrid, and the ball did not go past the ladies' tees. I'm not even. You got to pull this up. And then he recovered extremely well. That he was only on 9, so that could have really ruined him. You know, he's got the PTSD issues. But Eric, you have to pull it up because it just makes you feel good that a professional golfer did that as well. I mean, just completely topped it. It was crazy.
I did see that. You know, the other thing that was kind of funny too, because he's a KU guy.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And people were in the gallery, good-natured fun. We're dropping MIZs, I think.
But it was good-natured. So. It was. Look, that guy, it's an incredible story. It really,
great story.
I'm a fan of his. All right, listen, have fun tonight, but we got to talk a little bit about the Cardinals. I've been falling asleep too early. Shame on me. A couple of great nights in Los Angeles. Look, they're giving us some hope with seeing these new kids. I don't think the playoffs are in play, but it's a lot of fun seeing two guys that have 100 RBIs in Burleson and Jordan Walker. How about that?
I agree. Like, the way I came into this season was, okay, I didn't expect them to win the World Series, but there's a vision, there's a plan, and the way I look at it is, who are going to be the core players on the next great team the Cardinals are going to have? And it's a couple few years away, but I think we're starting to see that kind of emerge with Jordan Walker, and Burleson has really kind of come into his own. And then you got, and they got so much pitching in the pipeline, Mark. They have the number one rated, for what it's worth, prospect, you know, the minor league rating in the country or for in MLB. So they haven't had that in a long time. They have not had this many arms in the minor leagues as long as I've been alive. You could go back maybe to the mid-80s when they had some guys who were coming through, but they've got a lot of power arms. They're building this franchise for the future. It's fun to see some of these guys step up that you can see as core players for the long term. I think that's a lot of fun and why I think fans are responding.
Listen, have fun tonight. I'm jealous I can't be there. I'm going to get to a game soon enough. But Mizzou tonight, 7 o'clock kickoff. I'll be watching the whole game. Thank you, Senator Schmidt. I appreciate it. Tell Jamie I said hey.
All right, Mark.
All right. Yeah,
okay,
we'll see you. Take care. Sue Thomas is off for a few days. She's going to be back next Wednesday, I think. It might be next Thursday. She's got a little time off and a break for the weekend. There is a breaking story that we're going to kind of jump on here, perhaps with the Attorney General of Missouri, Catherine Hanaway, because there's been a Supreme Court decision, which I think is very, very confusing. And man, Fred Bond, this is why Fred's the Hall of Famer, because he gets the Attorney General on right away. Catherine, how are you this afternoon? Thanks for joining us. What the heck's happening here?
Well, I'm in a little bit of a state of shock.
Yeah.
There's so many strange things about this opinion. The bottom line that your listeners need to know is that the Missouri Supreme Court has now ordered that we return to the congressional districts from 2022. This is truly unprecedented. No court in the country has ever ordered a change in congressional maps between a primary and general election. We will be applying to the U.S. Supreme Court tonight for a stay. It's unbelievable.
Well, because that's the first thing that I thought of. There are a lot of us that went to vote for the primary, and we might have voted for a different member of Congress than we had in the past because of the maps. And then that means those votes don't count moving forward. That's like the definition of disenfranchisement, isn't it?
That's 100% right. That's exactly what's happened. And you will have people voting in a different congressional district in the general election than they voted in the primary. And the outcomes of those primaries may well have been different if the truly unprecedented.
So you cut out there just a little bit, but what are the options then with the Supreme Court? You say a stay, is that temporary, and then you have to go back for a more permanent injunction? Help me through the legalese here.
Yeah, that's precisely right. We'd go and ask for an emergency stay to freeze things as they were before the court made a decision. So we'd have the 2025 maps, and then we would seek for it to be the old decision to be permanently enjoined.
Right.
And I would guess that some of the candidates for Congress will probably end up suing the state in federal court as well. So there's a lot of action. This isn't the end. This is probably the end of the beginning.
I mean, that's crazy. And was this just a complete shocker this afternoon when this came in?
Well, yesterday it was pretty evident during oral argument that the judges had already made up their minds.
I'm not a lawyer, but I mean, just from a common sense perspective, how could you not flag something legally where people already voted in an election and then you're telling them you have to vote in a different district? I mean, that, I'm not a lawyer, but that doesn't even make sense.
No, it's just taking the people's will away. It's really out there, and the reasons in the opinion are even more convoluted. They say that, you know, the Secretary of State attached a legal opinion from the Attorney General, and the court said, well, he hasn't made any arguments. He can't just attach an opinion from the Attorney General. That's who the Secretary of State is supposed to rely on for legal advice. And then they take the position that we have to have the election on the referendum first and then consider any constitutional issues. It's really a strained opinion.
Wow. Okay. Well, get to work on this. Keep us posted. Thank you so much for jumping on here with me this afternoon and sort of explaining what just happened. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark.
All right. Take care. That's the Attorney General of Missouri, Catherine Hanaway. So that's a shocker. We'll definitely talk about that one on the roundtable tomorrow. With me on the panel tomorrow afternoon, former St. Louis County Police Chief and County Councilman Tim Fitch, and former state lawmaker Ted House will be here. We'll have a full 4 o'clock hour with Sue's News, Paul Hall on entertainment. Kusumano will join us. We have Jonathan Dickinson tomorrow, the author of Ibogaine and the Bicameral Mind. Ibogaine is a very interesting substance. I'm behind its use. It's non-traditional medicine to cure PTSD, mental illness, and a lot of other things. And there's a big movement behind it, including former Texas Governor Perry, who is really, he himself underwent the treatment of Ibogaine. So we'll get into that tomorrow as well. I want to try to fit this in just because we're up on the weekend and Labor Day weekend, and I don't want to forget it for next week. And I wish Sue is here because I would love her opinion on this. But this is kind of a crazy story. There was a mom of five convicted last week of contributing to the delinquency of a minor. Her offense was allowing her five-year-old son to walk about a half mile by himself in their gated community. Karen Parkinson is her name. At the time, she lived in Williamsburg, Virginia. Dallin, her husband, and their moved from Utah so they could go to law school. Her husband went to law school. Actually, I think maybe both of them went to law school. But anyway, it doesn't matter. In June, she's preparing for the bar. Sorry, I'm getting this confused. She's going to law school, all right? She's getting ready for the bar, and she's 8 months pregnant with her fifth child. She and her youngest, Sam, went for a bike ride. They often do this. They stopped for collecting goose feathers. They do this all the time from a path near their community pond. When they get home, he says, can I walk back and get some more? And mom says, yes, it's a short walk along a sidewalk separated from the street by 10 feet of grass. Sam would have to cross two streets with crosswalks, which she'd seen him do safely hundreds of times, including six times that morning when she went to make lunch. That's what he did. A passerby sees Sam, alerts security in the neighborhood. One of the security guards picks up the boy, takes him to his mom, gives her an earful. Pretty soon there's cops there, many cops, a security vehicle, two CPS workers at her door show up, and they investigate her for abuse and neglect. The cops charge her with contributing to the delinquency of a minor. CPS found the allegations substantiated and placed her on the state's child abuse and neglect registry. She's going to stay there for 7 years. This is nuts. And then a judge just convicted her of the delinquency of a minor charge, which is a first-degree misdemeanor. And that comes with a six-month jail sentence. Now, the sentence was suspended. That's what they do often. I even had one of those when I was popped for marijuana in 1984. If I got in trouble again, kind of like Tiger Woods, you get in trouble again, you go to jail. But this is crazy. Look, I think those of us who grew up in an era where we could go off at 5 years old and do things, and I walked to school when I was 5 years old, and it wasn't a short distance. So this is crazy that someone is being convicted of this and that there are states and communities and municipalities that think this is okay. Here's the mom talking about it today on Fox.
Why would you scare my son, who had previously felt entirely confident and capable and excited to go do this, you know, fun activity, and now he's more afraid of all these things that he's never considered before.
So that's a point that I forgot to make, because when the security guard brings Sam back to her house, the guard tells the boy that his mom had done something she wasn't supposed to do and that bad people would want to take him if he was out alone, scared the living daylights out of him. Not appropriate.
I'm just thinking, this is nuts, because, you know, I have five kids. All of my children have biked and walked and adventured on their own starting at that same age. I just remember thinking, this is crazy. Like, there's no way, you know, the police aren't going to care about this. CPS isn't going to care about this. But then all of a sudden, there was CPS at my house.
It is nuts. At the trial, the security guard, the boss, the police testified against her. The CPS worker testified that Sam seemed happy and healthy when she saw him that day. Parkinson's friend testified to Sam's maturity, that he could be trusted to walk to the pond without going rogue. I can't believe that this ever went before a judge.
We owe it to our children to provide them an opportunity to encounter the world in a way that allows them to build confidence, to build strength and trust in their community. And we're depriving our children of that because we're so afraid of hypothetical risks.
I'm just going to be honest with you. I've had a couple of moments in my household where there's been a difference of opinion between my wife and I on what our daughter is allowed to do. And, you know, when I say allowed to do, like in the neighborhood or go this far, or that far, across this street or that street. And I'm all open to it because I think every kid is different. And this mom has to know that her son at five might be mature enough. But this is crazy that we're arresting people and scaring the living daylights out of the kids because he's walking around to collect feathers from geese.
I think the vast majority of parents agree that kids need to be outside. They need to have an amount of reasonable independence. I mean, I made a calculated decision. I knew that Sam was capable of going out to that area, that he knew where the goose feathers were. He knew where he lived. He knew how to get back. We love children. We want to protect them. We want to provide for them. They're a priority. And so we've created institutions like Child Protective Services that can kind of get rolling in a way that once they get started, it's hard to pull them back.
I think mom is being very calm considering the circumstances. There are a lot of things that can happen at your house. Boy, we learned that with Lindsay Clancy, right? There's a lot of things that can happen in a car or anywhere. And we don't arrest moms and dads for driving their kids to places. It's horrifying to me, and this is the libertarian streak that comes out strong, that we would even consider in this country, in America, that we would consider arresting and putting a mother who simply let a five-year-old walk down the street in a gated community that's now on a child abuse registry. There's a lot that's wrong with that. Let's take it into a more positive direction. The Mizzou Tigers kick off tonight, 7 p.m., Arkansas Pine Bluff. My dear old journalism buddy and voice on the Missouri Tiger Radio Network, Chris Gervino, is coming up next. Oh, I'm ready. I am ready to go. I wish I was going to be there like Senator Schmidt tonight in Columbia, Missouri, but my good friend Chris Gervino is here. You'll hear him on the Tigers Radio Network tonight. Chris, how are you?
Doing well, Mark. Thanks.
Despite the game tonight, I think I kind of want to start with Dennis Gates and basketball, if that's okay with you, because this has been a very interesting week, hasn't it?
Well, it sure has. And I got to tell you, as we start the football season, I'm excited about that, of course. But I'm really excited also about basketball already, because he should have his best team yet, certainly on paper, and I know they play on hardwood, but it's his best roster going into a season. It's unbelievable the talent he's accumulated.
What's your take on what happened? Can you explain what happened with Mark Mitchell to folks who are still a little confused?
Yeah, well, it's confusing really for all of us in this day and age of collegiate athletics, so I don't pretend to be an expert. As someone else said, the lawyers aren't even sure what's going on, and they're supposed to know. But basically what happened was they now have this new rule where you have got 5 years eligibility in a 5-year window, and Mark Mitchell's trying to take advantage of that and fought to get fifth year, even though he had started his career obviously earlier than this ruling. And he won that case for eligibility. Now, we'll see if that still holds up. In the meantime, he had Missouri had what it thought was a full roster. And while Missouri would have liked to fit him back in, Kentucky came with a big offer financially, because these guys get paid now, as you know, and he committed to Kentucky. But then the SEC came out with its ruling that it is not going to allow transfers within the conference outside of the actual transfer portal window, which is what this recent announcement was for Mitchell to Kentucky. So he decided, well, instead of fighting that, I'm just going to go back to Mizzou, where I was very happy and liked it. Missouri's offer, I think, was not as lucrative as Kentucky's.
Right.
But at least Mark is comfortable here and a good place to be, and will play and be a key part of the team, at least as we speak. But stay tuned, because it's just crazy stuff, Mark. It really is.
And
crazy.
Then, did I see that there was another addition, this CJ Gunn kid who played at DePaul? The question there is, like, how are they creating roster spots? That's where I'm a little confused.
Yeah, well, I am too, and I don't pretend to have that answer, because they said there were 15 spots on a roster. That's the new limit. And then when Mark Mitchell came back, I read, honestly, so this is even secondhand as I say it to you, because, of course, that just happened, that they had a roster exemption, and it would be okay for Mitchell to come back. Well, then I wake up to the news that they've added the shooter CJ Gunn.
Right.
What a name for a shooter, by the way, a gunner. And they do need that. I will say that's the one thing about the team I think they could use, because you never have enough outside shooting in the day and age of three-point line. But apparently they're adding him. So by my math, that's 17 guys. So I just don't know how all that shakes out, and I'm just going to say stay tuned. We'll all find out.
Good advice. All right, so I have not been in person inside the stadium. I've seen videos and pictures of the north end zone. It's going to be packed tonight. I mean, that stadium, Chris, look, you and I come from an era where we were lucky to see 3 wins in a Missouri football season, right? 30 years ago. But, man, this team is primed and ready. We got some unknowns, so let's talk about what you're thinking about Austin Simmons. Have you got a chance to see him in camp, and what are your thoughts so far on the new Mizzou quarterback? And it's also interesting, this is the third season that we open with a different starting quarterback, right?
Yeah, and so that's, you know, interesting too, because you really look back and think maybe we took Brady Cook for granted, because he was here, wanted to be here, stayed here, and delivered. I mean, he was really good, a Missouri kid, and now you get this turnover to the quarterback spot. You know, it's a little uneasy, but Simmons is a kid who was very highly recruited out of Miami, chose originally Ole Miss over Florida, Auburn, Tennessee, big a left-hander, got a strong arm. His small sample size last year at Ole Miss, just a couple of starts, played in a few more games, but he got hurt early in the season, was really limited. He actually had more interceptions than touchdowns, 5 picks, 4 TDs. Now, again, it's a small sample size, but the one thing you just got to make sure with him is he throws it to the guys in the right color jersey, and I know that's something that Drinkwitz has even alluded to very tactfully, I thought, in preseason camp, that they want to really watch him and make sure he makes good decisions and good reads with the football. First scrimmage threw a couple of interceptions. Second and last scrimmage was much better. So, you know, they're going to go probably as well as he goes. They'd like to throw the ball a little bit downfield more than they did last year, even with their great running game.
Great news earlier this summer that Ahmad Hardy was going to be cleared to play, but he's still recovering from that bullet wound. What do you know about his return at this point?
Well, he's not there yet. You know, I think it's going to be a few weeks still. Nobody said for sure. Drinkwitz says he's definitely out this week. And he's also said, you know, he needs to be back, really have 2 full weeks of buildup before that first game. So that leads me to believe it's going to be probably at least the first 3 weeks there without him. And it may even be a month. I mean, they should be okay, honestly, without him. And they've got to be careful, obviously, first and foremost, for his sake and health, and then for the team's sake. The good news is they've got a great fill-in from St. Louis, Jamal Roberts, because the two of them combined ran for more than 2,400 yards last year, 1,600 for Hardy and almost 800 for Roberts. So he's going to get the bulk of the carries here early in the season, and the hope is to have Hardy back for the bulk of the SEC season.
You know, this might be in the weeds for most fans, but it really isn't. One of the big disappointments that we had last year is Blake Craig, who was a recruited kicker, goes down like almost on his first kick. And we actually then have the least amount of field goals from 40 more yards in the entire SEC with the backup. Now, he's back, right? And he's healthy. Special teams overall, Chris, has been an issue for the Tigers the last couple of years. You got to get that back on track, don't you?
Well, they do, and they've got a new special teams coach comes in from Florida State. They've got a new punter, Bruno Royce, from Florida State, and then really a new kicker because Blake Craig was out all last year, but Blake is back. He's got a big leg. I mean, he can boom them. It's not the distance that's a question. It's just the accuracy, but he gives them a better chance. And, Mark, I think, much like last year, Missouri's going to be in so many close games in this tough Southeastern Conference. Turnovers are huge, and the special teams, the kicking game is really huge. That can be a difference maker and likely will be in some of these close calls.
Well, let's get going tonight at Memorial Stadium in Faurot Field. It's going to be packed. You have Arkansas Pine Bluff. The line is 54.5, so that's interesting in and of itself. I mean, this is what programs do. They schedule this, but they got to go right at it next week in Lawrence, Kansas. I don't care if it's KU and they're not ranked as highly as anyone else. It's still a road game against a tough opponent and a rivalry, so you got to get off to a good start here.
Well, you do, and, you know, that MU-KU rivalry is a big one, as you know, and oftentimes the underdog has won in those matchups, so you don't take that for granted. Missouri will go in as the favorite. Kansas was picked low in the Big 12 for what that's worth, has a new quarterback of its own, but that's going to be a big test next week after what should be relatively simple for Missouri, frankly, at home tonight against a smaller division school.
I mean, if you get into the middle of the schedule and, you know, all these teams are faced with tough competition, but you got Florida, you got A&M again, A&M at home for the second year, Ole Miss, Arkansas is not as good maybe as they've been, but then Texas, Georgia, Kentucky, Oklahoma, it is not going to be an easy season. But I'm excited to see Austin Simmons and what this offense can put together, Chris, tonight.
Well, it ought to be great, and that schedule is tough. Five top 10 opponents on Missouri's schedule, at Georgia, at Ole Miss, home against Oklahoma, Texas, and Texas A&M. But ready or not, here we go, Mark.
What would you say about just the fans overall and the way that they've responded? I mean, you keep getting sellouts, and with that north end zone being closed now, that place is going to be louder, isn't it?
It sure will be. And let me tell you, if you get a chance to get through there and check it out, it is unbelievable. It looks awesome from the outside, from the field, but I was able to be part of a tour a couple weeks ago, and I've never seen anything like it here at Mizzou. I mean, it's hard to believe, but it's like, this is our school. Like, they've made so many improvements over the years to the sports facilities, but this one blew me away. It is unbelievable. There may be some bigger places around the country, but this is as nice as there is. So really, all of your listeners, I think they're going to make, you know, tours available toward the end of the month for folks. It is
awesome.
Worth it.
I love that. I love that. And I saw this on social media. Can you confirm a Shakespeare's Pizza inside the stadium?
Yes, sir. I know you'll be looking for that.
I'm excited about that. All right, Trevino, get to work tonight. Let's get a victory against Arkansas Pine Bluff and get this season going. And then I can't wait later in the year to talk more basketball with you. But it's good to hook up. Thank you, Chris.
Hey, keep up the good work, Mark. Thank you.
Before I get to audio cut of the day, I got some fun ones here today, too. We're going to lighten it up because everything's so serious and I'm getting ready for football. But on a serious note, this just happened in the last 90 minutes or so. The Missouri Supreme Court issued a decision on the congressional maps that were changed by the legislature, and they said that the old maps will be in play for the general election. That creates a bit of an issue, as we had the Attorney General Catherine Hanaway on the show when the story was breaking about a half an hour ago. And essentially what's happening is if you voted in the primary, you may be voting for a different candidate for Congress in the general election, because the Supreme Court says that the voters of Missouri have to decide on the maps first before they become into play. Now, the Attorney General made it very clear that she's going right to the Supreme Court for a stay, and then they're going to argue this further. But this cannot stand, because it is, we talk about disenfranchising voters all the time. This is the very definition of disenfranchising voters. You know, no matter what you think about the maps, they were put into place, and people voted on members of Congress based on those new maps in August. And now they may have a different candidate on the ballot. That's not supposed to be that way. So we'll see if that can get fixed by the Supremes.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Okay. I got a couple for you here. One just had to do with something that came up. J.D. Vance did the media briefing today. Believe it or not, it was the first briefing in 40 days, which is hard to believe. You know, Carolyn came back and then she kind of decided she was leaving right away. But Maria Bartiromo is leaving Fox Business. And that question actually came up at the briefing today.
You know, I just saw the news literally as I walked out before. I love Maria. I think she's an amazing person, amazing talent. I don't get involved in the personal drama of media stations. In fact, I'd like to invite Peter Ducey to come up here and answer a question about what happened to Maria. But I think whatever she does, look, she's going to do great, and I wish her all the best. She's a very, very dear friend. I haven't even talked to her, so I don't know the backstory about why she's decided to leave Fox News.
I don't know that anyone really knows the backfire because this was very, or the backstory rather, this was very abrupt. And there are reports out there that she was fired because she had informed the White House about some instructions to not promote President Trump's election conspiracies on the air. There was apparently an incident that happened in July, so Fox let her go today. She has not really said anything, I don't think, in the aftermath of her firing. But the press was really in the mood for some hard-hitting questions for J.D. Vance today. Here's Peter Ducey.
You have lost a ton of weight lately. How much sauerkraut do you eat in
a day? Oh, my Lord. Okay, so when you're the Vice President of the United States and one of the first questions at a press conference at the White House is how much weight you've lost, you must have gotten very fat. That's one thing that I take from that question. So I'll tell you a little story, Peter. So every Lent, I try to I'm a devout Christian. I try to take it very seriously. So I try to do some kind of self-denial. And so I was talking to my wife on Fat Tuesday, Mardi Gras, and I was like, I think I'm going to give up sugar. And I think I'm going to give up social media, okay? So if I wanted to tweet something, I'd tell these guys to tweet something for me, and I'd, otherwise try to stay off social media. So I call Bobby Kennedy, and I'm like, I know you're really into health. I'm thinking about giving up sugar. What do you think? And Bobby Kennedy says, no. I've got something that's way better than that and way more intense. And basically, it's like, yeah, I eat a lot of high-protein stuff, and I eat a lot of sauerkraut. And let's just say that if that was Fat Tuesday, Fat Wednesday never came. So my advice to you is that if you want to lose weight, call Bobby Kennedy. And if you want to enjoy what you eat, do not call Bobby Kennedy.
I thought that was great. They did ask. In fairness to Peter Ducey and the media, they asked some tough questions as well. But this has to be my favorite soundbite, maybe of the week, certainly so far. Ryan Reynolds is in a new show called Mayday that's on Apple TV+. And he admits that it's kind of inspired by some films from the 80s, including a film that I really love, Midnight Run, with Charles Grodin and Robert De Niro. It's really, really good. But he talked about how awful and tumultuous and, horrifying the 80s were. He didn't really grow up in the 80s. He was born in the 80s, but this is bizarre.
What's interesting about when you get far enough away from a time period that's quite distinct, I think there's always a lovely feeling associated with it. It's almost like you pave over all the trauma with like puppy dogs and ice cream. And the 80s was a brutal, brutal time for people. It was a f***ing mess. And people forget that it was like, that was a tremendous strife, sociopolitical tensions everywhere. Mm-hmm. We're still like pretty fresh off like a Cuban Missile Crisis, which is only like, 15, 20 years before. So, it's a tumultuous period. But you look back at it now and you're like, oh yeah, Top Gun, cocaine. Like, no, it was like really scary. So I think, I think when you look back at 2026 and this era, I think they're going to like pick on the big ticket items that don't really, didn't really leave the footprint culturally that you would think it would. Like, I don't know, so much of the aughts were like a mix of all the decades previous. Mm. Whereas the decades previous were their own thing. So I don't know. I wonder what it's going to be. It's going to be like the COVID era or something. I have no idea.
No, you're it probably right. It'll be rose-colored glasses.
Of course.
It should be the COVID era because we should remind people about that. But my goodness, the 80s. Now, I was 15 years old in 1980. I turned 15 years old. I was 25 in 1990. By that time, I quit drinking because I had so much fun in the 80s. The 80s were Ronald Reagan, Margaret Thatcher, John Paul II, John Hughes movies, great music, Michael Jackson, Prince. I mean, you think about all the cultural moments, the great TV shows, the movies that came out of the 80s. I think Ryan was a little lost there on the red carpet. Every once in a while, I've had this experience with celebrities. You'll ask a question, and they won't exactly know how to answer it, and they go down a path like Ryan did there, and then they just get made fun of because that was just utterly, utterly ridiculous. But entertaining, nonetheless. Back tomorrow. It's a Reardon Roundtable at 3.
Get more at 971talk.com.